easily one of the highlights of our arts community here is the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony Orchestra. And we're lucky enough to have Christopher Zimmerman in with us again. Christopher, a frequent guest on It Takes Two with Amy and JJ. We always get a good chance to chat with you about what the symphony has coming up. And American Celebration is the title of the performances this weekend, correct?
That's absolutely right. And thanks, JJ. It's nice always to come and chat with you guys.
Is it weird to do a show called American Celebration when you yourself are not American?
I'm actually half American.
Oh, well, there
you
go.
My mom is American. I just grew up in England for most of my life. So,
oh, well, then never mind.
Half and half.
Welcome back.
Or half and half. Half and half. Yeah. But, I'm kind of used to, programs with that sort of title, as you can imagine, sell quite well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm not averse to it,
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and in this case, it's not the type of sort of, a particularly sort of nationalistic fever type person. But this is not like that. I mean, this is just great music, which happens to be American. There is the celebratory aspect of it is quite significant as well.
Are we talking about American composers?
Yeah, everyone's American. Can I speak a little about
it? Yeah,
absolutely, please.
So the impetus for it, actually, to put the whole program together as an American program was the central piece, we are performing Gershwin's famous Rhapsody in Blue.
Oh, I love that piece.
This year is the 100th anniversary of its creation.
Really?
Oh, that's neat.
And other than what a great piece it is, the other reason for it is that the pianist who's playing this, who, by the way, was here about 5 years ago when we played a premiere of PDQ Bach, right?
Peter Schickli. Uh-huh.
We did a premiere of his piano concerto, and Peter Schickli actually grew up, as you may know, as a kid, he went to high school, middle school and high school in Fargo.
Well, there you go. I love that.
So Jeff, the piece was commissioned by this pianist whose name is Jeffrey Beagle, who's coming to play the Gershwin. He's amazing. I don't think the guy ever sleeps. He commissions pieces by composers all the time. And in this case, so obviously he didn't commission the Gershwin because it was written 100 years ago, but he's commissioned a piece to be played alongside it because the Gershwin is not that long. It's about 15, 16, 17 minutes, something like that. So he's commissioned a piece to, as I say, go alongside it, which is called Rhapsody in Red, White, and Blue.
Oh, they're lovely.
By American, obviously, living composer called Peter Boyer. And so he's going around the country selling these two pieces to be played on a program. It's a premiere, of course. It's only just been written. I'm honored the fact that we're doing the North Dakota premiere. Jeffrey has told me quite recently that now he's achieved what he wanted to do, which is have every single state in the union play the Peter Boyer piece.
Oh, that's
I don't know
great.
If it's always being played with the Gershwin. I think most times. So there are 50 performances. We're number, I don't know what we are, number 15 maybe?
Great. Good to be, not. It's good
great,
not
though?
To be last, right? To
yeah,
be
no,
the one that you've got to think
whatever,
into.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think it's, I mean, and I'm really proud of that and him actually to, commission a piece which every single state is playing over the next 3 years. This is the first year. So we're quite near the beginning.
I would say it's probably rare for modern pieces to find as fast as a fire as this is by spreading out and getting in all 50 states, because there are pieces of music I've never heard performed live because it just didn't, for whatever reason, capture the imagination of.
Well,
who
it's
was
a clever idea, isn't it?
Mm-hmm,
when you think
it
about
really
it, also
is.
A boring topic, but financially speaking, also it's the commission of the person writing it. This is now spread 50 times, not
sure.
One orchestra, mm-hmm.
Right? Uh-huh.
So, and we don't have to pay that much. He gets his money. Everyone's happy.
Great.
But also, more importantly, I think, is the fact that it's you're right. It's going to get 50 performances. I mean, if I were a composer, that's pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
Because you're absolutely right. So often, I actually love doing premieres for reasons we talked about, getting the composer in, the whole creative process. But the poor person, often he gets one or maybe two. And then, maybe it'll take off, as you say, very rarely like fire, but maybe a little bit of a flame. But half the time it just goes out because that's the way life is, So this is great. So that was the impetus. So we thought, okay, let's make an American program. So surrounding that, we're performing two other really great and popular pieces. I mean, popular in the classical music world. Bernstein, On the Waterfront, music written for the movie, which is, I don't know if you've seen the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and this is his only film score, actually. You know,
is it
people think because he's written so many musicals, he must have, you know, like West Side Story, he must have written films, so this is the only one. I mean, the music is incredible, just fantastically dramatic and beautiful. And the other piece, another American icon, is Copland.
Okay.
Appalachian Spring, which is probably his most, well, Rodeo is another famous piece, but this piece is probably his best known work of all. It was commissioned to be a ballet for the Martha Graham Ballet Company.
Oh, lovely.
So for, you know, well, Peter Boy is not a famous piece, it's only just been written, but all three of them are incredibly well known. And the Boy, as you might expect, really fits the bill. I mean, he wrote it not to sound like the Gershwin, but it's in that style. There's a little jazz in it. There's other dance forms. You know, it's all American stuff.
By any chance, did you ever see Disney did a film called Fantasia 2000 where they animated to the Gershwin piece Rhapsody in Blue?
That's the second one, right?
Because he did the original one. Yes, yeah. It is fascinating, and that entire piece, you're everywhere. You've got, you know, your big drum moments, and you've got real light moments, and then you got, like, it feels like the tempo changes at different parts.
Oh, it does. It's all kind of crazy. Well, there are a couple of, well, there's more than two versions. The original version was not for orchestra at all, and it sounds great. It's for jazz band and banjos and all sorts of stuff, you know, which is great. And then he wrote, and then there's the orchestra version, which is orchestrated by a man called Groffé, another American composer, who took on the instrumentation or the orchestration of the piece for full orchestra. But there are also two versions of that, and we're doing the best version because, of course, because it involves three saxes, which, are, you know, saxophones are not usually in the orchestra, so it obviously has that jazz tinge which the composer originally conceived of, and even a banjo.
Really?
Oh, fun.
And they wail, these saxes. And you know, we have a great sax contingent, actually, in this state.
We do, yeah.
Because of this state, this community, because of Russ Peterson, among others. And they, you know, they play the hell out of the thing. It's great. We've just had one rehearsal. It sounds great already. Really. There's not much to do.
What about the musicians? Are they when you put together a piece like this, you know, a show that involves all of these different pieces, it must be fun and exciting for them to be able to do, you know, like you said, like a premiere piece. You know, no one's played it in North Dakota before.
Yeah, so as you might imagine, I think this orchestra is more generous-spirited than many that I've conducted. I have another music director of another orchestra in the East Coast, so they're fine too. But I think here they embrace the new with more enthusiasm, because the new often means, A, they don't know what they're getting into, right? I mean, when it's a Tchaikovsky symphony, most 95% of orchestra musicians know it at some level and they love it, right? When it's a new piece, they're going to have to learn a brand new piece and they don't know what they're in for, right? I have to say, in the case of this program, as I've been explaining, there's nothing too quirky or difficult or, you know, intellectual or challenging on that level. It's all just fun. So, yeah. So I've had a lot of feedback for this concert from a lot of the players saying, wow, what a great concert. Usually, you know, what happens is, as you can imagine, people are often polite. the only feedback I get is, I really like this program. Or I get nothing. I don't get, why the hell did you program that?
They save that.
They say that for the pub.
Yes.
Yeah,
sure. We're talking about the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony Orchestra's American Celebration going on this weekend. You can get tickets at fmsymphony.org. It takes place at the NDSU Festival Concert Hall, one of my favorite places to see live music in Fargo. I think that is just a beautiful space and very comfortable, too.
Good.
You know, you probably rarely get to actually sit out in the audience and take anything in. You're used to being out there, right?
I mean, sometimes you're absolutely right. What can I say?
Yeah.
I mean, I have been out there to occasionally listen, but not in... I've never been in the audience to attend another performance. That's true.
It is a phenomenal space. I mean, we're very lucky that NDSU decided to say, like, listen, we would like a premier venue available in the area, too. Because I imagine if you were limited by space, you'd have to be limited by the pieces you can choose, because you can't fit as many instruments on stage at one time.
Of course, that's true. If the stage is too small, you're absolutely right. I mean, we do have limitations, but it's pretty good. I mean, we can do the basic, you know, a large orchestra or a medium-sized orchestra with chorus is fine. Yeah, so there's a lot of
No one's putting a timpani in the aisle or anything
that. Unless actually we have some pieces call for offstage stuff.
Oh, really?
Or up in the balcony, which also it works there because they're the two balconies on the side. We've done a couple of pieces where we've actually used the front of the balcony. We've even done a couple of pieces, or one piece, I remember for sure, where the player's right at the back, you know, behind
the balcony
at the back and then leaves and actually plays as they leave. So you just hear this. You don't know where it's coming from, and the sound suddenly disappears. You occasionally have to do this. We had a bagpiper the other – do you remember?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who starts playing outside and then walks down the aisle and comes up on the stage.
It was the same bagpiper I had at my wedding.
Oh, is that the same guy? He was brilliant.
Yeah, right? Isn't he great?
He's great.
Yeah, in fact, he plays for so many different things. And talk about, he's taught all of these people in this area how to play the bagpipe. Like most people who brought that
up. He's an evangelist.
He really is. And his chorus practices occasionally in a park across the river from where my house is. So you can hear it clear as day, three blocks away, no problem. You'll hear the Heather and Thistle bagpipe band when they're practicing. And they do draw a crowd.
How many bagpipes?
Well, I think there's almost a dozen, if not.
Is this a good thing?
Right now. And they've got the big marching drums. You can't miss it. Yeah. I hope no one's outside trying to read quietly when they're practicing. It's worth it. Going on this weekend, again, fmsymphony.org, great place to get tickets. Christopher, always a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'll look forward to watching you conduct this weekend.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks.